Yo, welcome to Beast Podcast. And if you don't know, Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together. And that's exactly what we strive to do on this show. We talk life skills, we talk financial literacy, we talk personal development. All these things are going to help you be a better you. So stay tuned and enjoy the show. All right, we live and active. So for all the listeners out there, go ahead and just introduce yourself and give us three things you're grateful for.
Well, I'm Candace. I'm one of Deshaun's friends from Orlando when we both live there. A few things I'm thankful for. We'll go shallow first. It's payday Friday for me, so super thankful for that. I am thankful that I have a home and a roof over my head because it's actually pretty chilly here today. The weather can't make up its mind. And the last thing that I'm thankful for is I'd probably say spending time with my parents. I had dinner with them earlier tonight, and I'm just thankful I'm able to do that more often than not.
Shoot, I guess we can probably start there with your parents, like just as far as like your upbringing, right? Like, you know, where you're from and kind of like how you got started in your walk and like in your faith.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Georgia, so I have some very deep Southern roots. Was raised in a two-parent home, although my two-parent home consisted of my biological mother and my stepfather, who actually adopted me when I was in sixth grade. So I took his last name. And then I was raised in church, Pentecostal, not the kind that handles snakes. I've been asked that before. definitely not. So, I mean, I guess you're, you know, today's time would consider it charismatic, you know, speaking in tongues, running around the church, you name it. It pretty much happens. Nothing unusual for me. So that's kind of like the basis of where I started in my walk. Like, of course, I always knew, you know, that Jesus is Lord, that he came and he saved me by dying on the cross, shedding his blood for me, forgiving of my sins. But I think really, and still to this day, I still have to try to, you know, wrap my mind around, you know, just who Jesus and who God is. But a big way that I feel like I always connected with him was through the dreams that I believe he gave me, as far as the purpose that I thought he had for my life, the goals that had been set for me. So it kind of really started that way and then trickled over. And I'm not sure if you want me to go into like how the Florida thing factors in or.
Yeah, that's definitely the segue that I was going to go, you know, talking about, you know, your dreams and your calling and your purpose. So what was it that led you to go to Orlando, to go to Florida?
Right. Okay. So when I was younger, when I said like very young, I'm talking about pretty much from the time I came out of the womb, we were very blessed. Me and my sister were to have parents that if they ever struggled financially, we never knew about it. So, you know, yearly trips to Orlando was not something that was uncommon. I think probably up until I was about 21 years old, I could say I went to SeaWorld every year. Orlando, SeaWorld, Universal, you name it, we were there. And it was about when I was 8 years old. I think that's usually the age that I say that I was. It was just your normal, you know, family trip to Orlando. And like I said, SeaWorld was always that place that I loved and just somewhere that we went. But that trip was a little different for me. And that was back to when the trainers were still in the water with the whales at the time. So, you know, we were sitting in one of the shows and watched something that I'd seen several times before, but this time just struck me a little differently. A trainer was in the water with one of the killer whales, came up out of the water and just dove off that whale's nose. And it was like in that moment, like something switched in me. And I was like, this is what I'm meant to do with my life. So, kid you not, from, you know, 8 years old, elementary school, middle school, high school, I had tunnel vision. Like, I didn't see anything else. It was, I need to get out of Georgia and move to Orlando so I can pursue this dream. And, you know, like I said, firmly believe that that's what God had called me to do.
So I want to actually pause there. Like, what was it that gave you that feeling? Like, was there like a gnawing? Like, was there like something like kept on like pressing at you? It's kind of like if you have like a nagging injury, right? Like where it like keeps like every time you move a certain way, like you feel it. Like, was it something like that? Like where like when you felt yourself kind of veering away from that path, that something kind of like put you back on that path? Or was it just like a deep inner like knowing like this just feels right and I'm just gonna go with this feeling? Like if you could try to walk me through that process.
That you talking about the feeling of just knowing that this is what I was supposed to do with my life, like that, is that what you're asking? So, at 8 years old, I mean, it's really hard to say, but I would probably go with your second option there. Like I said, it was, not uncommon. It's something I'd seen many, many times before. But it just so happened, it just, I guess, caught my attention, and it was that deep, deep knowing of I went from, I mean, of course, when you're little, you think of all kinds of different things you wanted to do. I wanted to be a paleontologist at one point, probably a spy at another point, who knows? But in that moment, it was like going from, I guess, I wouldn't say dark in the sense of like a bad dark, but just like you're sitting in a dark room and somebody turned the light on. And so it was just in that moment is just snap of a finger. This is it. This is what God has called me to do. I didn't ask any questions. It just went from where my vision was very broad and like open-minded to strictly tunnel vision, straight ahead. This is where I need to go. This is where I need to be.
Okay, amen. So go ahead and bring us back up the speed.
Yeah.
High school years, college years. Talk to me about that.
Yes. So, I went through middle school, high school, but high school was really where I focused, as far as I felt very out of place in Georgia. I didn't feel like it was my home here, which that could be part of my personality when I have tunnel vision like that. You just kind of detach from everything and you're just like, this is where I'm going. And then it switched to every time we went to Florida, middle school, high school, it was like I was home when I was there. I would cry on my way back. I wouldn't be able to talk in the car because I couldn't keep from crying. That's how emotional I was just leaving Orlando itself. So high school, it was, I've got to make good grades. I needed to get into college because of the requirements that trainers have, like for schooling and such. And I, was like, maybe I should go to UCF. I don't even know how I came across UCF. I think I just was looking at colleges in Florida and was like, what's the closest one to SeaWorld? And so I came across UCF. I visited there my senior year of high school, and I was like, this is it. This is where I want to go. But of course, things don't always work out how we plan them to. I was like, I'm just going to go straight from Ringgold, Georgia to Orlando, Florida, do 4 years at UCF, get my job as a trainer, and life's just going to be perfect and just roll in line. But I didn't actually get into UCF coming out of high school. So I had to, swallow my pride, as most of us do when we kind of, bubble ourselves up a little bit for how we think life should go. And I went to a local community college for my first 2 years, which, looking back, and even then, I knew was a blessing in disguise because I got my 2 year degree in associates in psychology, and I got out debt free. So it was, definitely a blessing. I was able to save money and, a good chunk of money because I knew I was eventually going to move to sea or to Florida. I just didn't know when. So it was about in the year, it was 2013. I got connected through my church that I grew up in. The pastor there actually had connections to a pastor in Orlando at Church in the Sun, which is where I attended once I moved there. And they got me in touch with the young adult slash youth pastors there, and they hooked me up with a roommate. So I went from no solid plans of when I was moving to Orlando to I was moving to Orlando in maybe a month or two. So I moved. It was very quick. I talked to my future roommate on the phone one time. We agreed where we were going to move. She did all the looking and the searching, and I was just like, okay, we'll just meet there. We didn't even meet until the first day, or maybe within the first week when I moved in before she did. So October 2013, I moved to Florida. It was a huge adjustment for me, but I knew I was right where I needed to be. And was unemployed for maybe a month or two, which, again, I'm very thankful I was able to save money because it wasn't, like, super stressful. I had enough to keep me going for a while. I just knew I needed to get a job. Mm-hmm. My first job in Florida was I worked at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company on City Walk at Universal.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a hostess there. And then, you know, living in Orlando, it's really tough. You have to have, you know, either a really good full-time job or a couple of part-time jobs for, you know, it's really hard to sustain yourself. Yeah. Living in Orlando with just, you know, minimum wage and the skyrocketing rent prices. So I worked there for a little while, and, you know, obviously I kept my eye on SeaWorld, and I was just like dead set on applying for training jobs, you know, because I was just one of those that was so like tunnel vision on training jobs. I really didn't give myself a chance to look at other departments until I was really forced to do so. So I got into lifeguarding at Discovery Cove. And was there for a while, and then, you know, got the side job at YMCA where you and I met and got acquainted. And I worked in the lifeguarding department for, I would say, let's see, from 2013 towards the end, I think it was around December, give or take, until actually I moved back to Georgia. But there was a short amount of time where things switched for a bit, which I'll get into for a second. So I got into the lifeguarding department. Obviously, it like wasn't what my ultimate goal was, which was to work with Shamu. Anybody who knew me, they were like, Candace is going to work with Shamu. That's just how it is, you know. But again, life doesn't always go like we expected. So had to stay humble in my lifeguard jobs, both at SeaWorld and at the YMCA. But I got back, I actually got into UCF, which was a dream come true. Like, that was like my ultimate school to get into. I loved it. Just another one of those places when I was on campus, it just felt like home. And, you know, it's really in those moments where it's like life is obviously not going your way, but you can see how God works things out. And how they should go. And you're even more thankful than how you wanted it to originally. So, you know, being faithful, or, you know, it's very hard at times to be faithful to him when things aren't going your way. You get upset. You're like, Lord, why isn't this going how I want? He's like, just hold on. You know, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out how you want it to. And then sure enough, he comes through. And when we try to be faithful to him, he comes through even more so with his faithfulness, which just cannot be matched in any way whatsoever. And it's just, it's amazing to experience. And so even just little things into, you know, getting into the college of your dreams, quote unquote, because people who live in Orlando probably don't consider UCF a dream college. But I started back there for my last 2 years to get my bachelor's degree. And towards the end, I believe it was in the last, my last semester, I believe, I did something that I said I would never do, because don't ever say you're not going to do something. The Lord will make you bite your tongue every time. I was like, I'm never going to apply for the Discovery Cove internship. That's just not what I want to do. Again, that tunnel vision sometimes is more of a hindrance than it is something that benefits to you, because you can't see other options of getting where you want to go. You're just like, there's only one way. No other way but that. So after saying for a while, I'm never going to apply for this internship, I bit my tongue, swallowed my pride, and I did. Probably one of the most nerve-wracking interviews I have ever had in my life, just because I knew the pressure that was coming with it, the pressure that I felt, and what it could possibly lead to.
And what was this timeline? This was, what, like 2014?
No, actually, this was towards, when I say I worked, you know, lifeguarding in both jobs and then with Bubba Gumps as well, that was the vast majority of my time in Florida. And so that whole time it was, I was going after this one goal, but God had other plans. Like, there was just certain roadblocks and certain things that needed to be met ahead of me before I could take that next step.
I actually want to, stay there for a second, because you've alluded to it a couple of times. Life doesn't happen how we expect it to. And I feel like it's often that, like, it's kind of like God telling us, like, yo, like, forget your plan. Like, just focus on me. Like, if you focus on me, I'll give you whatever you want. So how can we really, how can we detach ourselves from our goals and our desires, right? Because it's often like, and this is a paradigm that I often take. It's like, set goals, like, figure out what that goal is and do everything you can to accomplish it. But how can we detach ourselves from the goal to see some of these other opportunities that are around us? Like, how can we remain faithful to our creator, to God, while also chasing our dreams? Like, can we do both? Like, talk, like, what are your thoughts on that?
You can do both. I have no doubt about that. It's really just your willingness to be able to, I would say, be open-minded, but you really have to trust that he knows what's best. Even though, you know, we've always heard, you know, God gives us the desires of, that we have, like, if, you know, he wouldn't give them to us if it wasn't for a reason. But at the same time, you do also have to walk in his will. You have to consult him. You have to talk to him, you know, which is things that I'm still learning to this day. I'm not, you know, the best at it for sure, where you just have to sit back and you're like, okay, Lord, this is not going, you know, how I thought it would, but I trust you in that you're going to get me where I'm going. And so it's just taking that step back and knowing who God is and that he has the ultimate best for you. Like, I think a lot of the times we settle for what we think God's best is, but it's actually not. So we're probably a lot of the time going after something in reality that's severely mediocre.
I was about to say low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, yes.
That goals and, that we think we can accomplish ourselves.
Exactly. And it's never in our own strength that we're able to do things, because if I wouldn't be surprised if you've noticed this by now, but a lot of the things that we do or things that we feel God has called us to, it is not for our glory. It is for his. And so if we start trying to say, oh, I can do this, oh, I can make this happen, that is trying to take the glory from him. And so in those moments, I think a lot of us can be humbled. You know, he'll use things to humble us, not to be, you know, oh, big bad God. It's to teach us something. And then again, to help us take that step, I can step back and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with what I can't see, which is where that big faith step comes in. And it's a, you know, a stretching journey. It's never something that's, or it's not always pleasant, I'll say. Yeah. There's sometimes where you can look at it, you know, you say, you know what, God, that was you. And thank you so much for that. Thank you for loving me so much that you didn't allow this to happen. You didn't allow me to take this road. And then other times you're like, thank you, Lord, for opening that door for me. Nobody else could have opened that door. But at the same time, no matter what road you're on, whether you, you know, you get what you think you want or you don't, you can end up thanking the Lord in one way or another, because you know he has the best things for you. Just like that scripture says, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So whatever we can conjure up, he's going to do so much more, exceedingly abundantly, and then more than we could ever think of or imagine. It's just, it's amazing when it comes to that.
So you talked about, you know, your faith, your belief in God's vision. You applied for the internship. Results were,
I got it.
Hey.
By his grace, because I swear I was an alternate. I think they waited until the last moment to decide. And I, you know, I can't verify that, but that was just always my thought, because everybody I felt around me was hearing back and I just wasn't. But again, that's God. If I was an alternate, there's a reason I got that spot. Right. And so I spent the next 6 months at Discovery Cove, but I switched from their lifeguard department to their internship department, which is their animal zoological department as well. Probably the happiest anybody's ever seen me, walking around, cleaning up bird poop, waking up at, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to get to work, to stick your hands in ice cold freezing water, to check through each and every fish before it goes into this dolphin's mouth, you know, making gelatin to throw out to dolphins, you know, you name it, I was doing it, and I did it with a smile on my face. It was truly a blessing and a gift from the Lord, because it wasn't long after that, and I don't know how long you want me to linger on the internship and how I had to mentally switch from, you know, I still want more, because I still did apply for training positions at SeaWorld after my internship came to a close. And it just wasn't working how I wanted it to, obviously, story of my life. But kind of had to, I guess, get humbled back down a little bit that it'll happen in God's time or it won't happen in God's time. And so that's when, we're currently in 2017. So that's a little bit of a jump, but literally the last 6 to 8 months of my time in Florida was spent in my internship and finishing up school at UCF. So once I switched back to the lifeguard department, you know, I was still applying and still trusting, but I just was not getting an interview, which is was very shocking to me, because, you know, I had just spent the past 6 months of my life in the zoological department at SeaWorld. I just wasn't sure what was going on. I never, you know, spoke to anybody, because I don't, SeaWorld doesn't really work that way unless you know people, like really, really know them in the department. Or any department, you know, it's all about connections. And I just never really worked that way. But there came a time where my lease was about to be up in Florida. And I was like, okay, do I need to, you know, stay here? Or do I need to move back home? Which was another thing for me. Because again, back to I never liked it in Georgia as a kid. And it's just because I was so tunnel vision to where I wanted to be. And so, I kid you not, I started really, like, you know, trying to figure out what God's plans were for me next, stay or go. And so I remember one day, plain as day, are you familiar with the story in the Bible of the man who wrestled with the angel?
And he broke his hip, or?
Yes. I believe it was Jacob. I think it was Jacob who did that. I liken it to that, even though I wasn't physically wrestling an angel, I was wrestling something. And so I was, you know, doing our little routes in the back pool at the Y. And I was just probably the hardest I've ever prayed, because I wanted an answer. I needed to hear something from the Lord about, Lord, what is it you want for me next? You know, take away whatever it is, my desires, and just tell me what it is your will is. And so I was circling and circling and praying, and I was just refusing to give up until I had some sort of answer, you know. So I was probably speed walking around that pool, wasn't even actually paying attention to anybody in the pool. And I kid you not, I'm not someone that typically hears the audible voice of the Lord, like someone standing next to me, but it's more like in your mind. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's kind of hard to explain.
Like the voice in your head almost.
Yes, but it's a solid voice. Like you hear it. It catches your attention. And I was praying and I heard the words, it's time. And I knew what it meant. It meant it was my time to leave Florida and go back home. And in that moment, I had peace. Like I wasn't sad. I wasn't upset. I wasn't stressed. It was just like, okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. So I ended up moving back home to Georgia, actually cut out of my lease a little bit earlier than I was planning. And then I moved back in with my parents, and they're gracious, super gracious people. Because I came with a cat, you know, my mom's not a huge, huge animal person. And so it wasn't long that I moved back home where I still had that part of me that missed Florida. So I think I took maybe 2 or 3 trips in 1 year driving back to Florida, because I wasn't ready to let go. Like I knew that I was meant to move back to Georgia. I just wasn't in that place yet where I could just wipe my hands and be like, you know, it's things hurt, you know, you're emotionally attached to them. It's hard to let go of it sometimes.
That's a large time, especially you talk about like your formative years. I mean, we're talking, you know, what, 20 to what, that was like 2013 until 2017, so 4 or 5 years. So from age of 20 to 20, you know what I mean, like that's a those are key years in your young adult life.
Right. And then also from the time I was 8 until I moved, I was so dead set. And I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I would have sworn I was going to be dead and buried in Florida. that was pretty much, you know, just dead set on it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once I moved back, there was a time where I was in a pretty deep depression of trying, you know, having to let go, letting God work on me. Because that's a big thing. Like when it comes to stuff like that, you really have to give it to God, and He's the one that's going to help you let go of it. I don't think there's any way out of it where you can do it in your own strength. And so he eventually got me out of it little by little. You know, I started a new job here, and obviously it was totally different. It was that Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, which was fine. I had my nights, I had my weekends, which is something that I wanted, that, you know, in Florida, you don't really get that. You're working as much as you can to make as much as you can.
Sure.
But I still was in that mindset of I'm meant to do more than this, which is how I've always been. And I still to this day, I'm like, there's more out there for me, but I don't know what it is.
Hey, are you looking to start that new side hustle or dive into that new hobby of video editing? Or maybe you want to start a podcast. Maybe you need a logo or you need a logo animation. Hey, well, Fiverr is the place to go. Okay, Fiverr is a place where you can find contractors with varying skills in multiple different fields that can help you grow your business. We're talking, if you need an administrative assistant, you can find them on Fiverr. If you need a video editor, you can find them on Fiverr. If you need somebody to record a voiceover, like I'm doing right now, you can find them on Fiverr. Okay? Anything you would need to help grow your business is on Fiverr. So, to get started and find your freelancer contractor today, click the link in the show notes to get started.
And so eventually I got to the point where he kind of opened my eyes a little bit, and I was like, you know, I've always been go, go, go. This is how it should be. I really feel like he is telling me I should take this time to just be still and let him work on me where I am. Just trust that I'm where I'm supposed to be without having to know what the next step is. Because I'm very goal-oriented, like type A, if you want to call me that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have something to work towards, I kind of feel useless, or I feel like I'm missing out. I'm not sure if you've ever felt like that, but that's really how I've always been since I was a young child, just constantly going after one thing or another.
Almost definitely. Yeah. Definitely relate to that.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard making that adjustment where, you know, you from the time you're 8 years old until you're in your mid to late 20s, where you're going after something and then life just changes and you have to let go of all that. And you're just like, Lord, I don't know what's next. But whatever it is, you're going to show me, and I'm going to trust that it's what you've called me to do right now. And so I'm still kind of in that place, I would say. There are times where I get very antsy, you know, where I'm like, what is it, Lord, that you've called me to do? Because a big part of who I thought I was, like, I thought my identity was my purpose in being a trainer. And that's where I think that gets us a lot, is we think our identity is in a job.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hobby, or, you know, whatever it is. And so when you feel like that sense of who you are, or who you thought you were, that false sense of identity, you're totally lost, and you really don't know what to do with it. And I think it's in those times where we realize, we're like, you know what, my identity is not who I could be, who I think I should be, a job that I could go after. That it's whose are we? Who do we belong to? And the Bible, I've looked at it a time or two, you know, you can find scripture on the Bible and who it says you are. Mm-hmm. And you can find out who you are through Christ as well. So it's like I said, that's probably where I still am. Currently, it's definitely a process, a stretching process. Like, it's just a whole lot of deep thoughts and sometimes convictions. You're just like, oh man, you know, I had it all wrong. But I'm thankful that He loves us so much and too much to leave us as we are. So say, you know, you did. What?
Say that again.
He loves us too much to leave us as we are.
That's a bar.
It's reality.
Yeah.
He is not someone who wants us to sit stagnant, even in a relationship with him. It's constantly ongoing. You can constantly grow and grow and grow. The moment you sit still is the moment things become dangerous. You start looking for things in other things. You know, you're like, okay, what can I get into now that's going to make me feel purpose? What can I get into now that's going to make me feel like I'm useful?
It's funny because the two words that come to mind are confidence and godfidence.
Godfidence, I like that.
Yeah, it's like confidence is like you're trying to convince yourself of who your identity is and that that identity is going to take you where you need to go. You're confident in that identity, whereas like godfidence, it's like, yo, wherever you need to put me, like wherever I end up, I'm going to operate in that space because I know it's for the cultivation of my spirit and my knowing. And I feel like, yeah, and it takes time to develop, like you're saying, like it takes a lot of time and a lot of self-reflection and a lot of really studying the word to really understand whose you are, because it's easy to lose sight of that, especially in today's world with all these gadgets and doohickeys and especially, you know, how I thought I was wild, you know, when I was younger. I'm seeing like teenagers and young adults now, and it's like it's getting worse. So it's like, it's a lot harder to really like understand whose you are because you have these other stimuluses, you know, around us. So I think it's very important, like taking the time to just sit down somewhere, like what did we say? Sat down, like just sat down somewhere, like
pop a squat.
And that's something like I'm currently struggling with now, like everything you said, spot on, like trying to, you know, every single day needs to be filled with a task to do something. Like, I got to be productive, where, like, as of late, like, I've been chilling a lot more, and it's been hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard, and I'm not really understanding why. It's like, yeah, it's that uncomfortable spot, but like you said, like, he loves us too much to leave us how we are.
Mm-hmm. A side note is, sometimes when our lives are so busy, when we feel like we have to constantly be going after a goal, we don't give God time to speak to us. Mm. We don't sit and say, Lord, is this what you want us to do? Lord, what would you like to say to me today? Mm. So sometimes if he slows us down, he's trying to say, come spend time with me. See what I have to say to you. What do you, you know, it's a relationship, just like you would sit down and talk to your parent. Like if you need to reflect with them, like, I don't know if you ever sit, you know, you're asking your parents, you know, have I always been like this? Or what's something that can help me? Like, God's the same way. He's a father. He's going to talk to us. He's going to guide us and direct us and correct us when he needs to. So maybe, you know, in those moments, you said as of late, you're sitting still more often than not, you know, peace be still, maybe you just turn your ear up, your spiritual ear, and just be like, Lord, what are you wanting to say to me right now? And you might be surprised.
So in closing, if there was somebody who, I mean, somebody like myself, or let's actually give you a better question to close on. If you had to speak to your 16, 17 year old self, fully convicted on being Shamu's best friend, what would you tell your younger self about these goals that you're setting and just about life in general? Like, what's some like word of wisdom you would give your younger self?
You know, I would still tell me to go for it, because I learned more through not reaching my ultimate goal than I think I ever would have reaching it.
That's a bar.
Yeah, because, I mean, just living in Orlando, I learned so much. I've learned a lot of things about myself. And I'll just kind of, like, be really quick here. But, it took me a while to realize why. And there's probably plenty of reasons. But one of the biggest of why God had me move back, that was 2017. And then, you had everything that happened in 2020. I strongly believe that had I stayed in Orlando, you know, through the pandemic, all of that, I would have been, you know, super stressed, like the vast majority of Americans were and the people around the world, as far as, you know, having jobs and income and stuff like that. Like, I'm already a super stressed person as it is, you know, don't take my money from me. So I believe that that was part of his protection, you know, because I came back and I was employed the whole time, very thankful for that. But just to kind of bring it back a little bit, I don't know if I would tell myself, you know, it's not going to work out how you want, because then I, you know, that would keep me from continuing to go after it. I would say go for it and it's going to be okay. That's probably where I would leave it. And then, you know, hope that my 16-year-old self would figure it out as I did.
Dope, man. Well, one, it's been dope catching up with you. We're definitely going to have more of these. So for all the listeners out there, I've actually approached Candace with the opportunity, because I feel like something that's been on my heart lately is to start some sort of Bible study podcast, where, because whenever there's two or more gathered in his name, I feel like you kind of, I mean, his presence is there. And I feel like in order for us to really like grow spiritually, like we need to have these conversations around the Bible and around these different stories and try to really figure out like, hey, what is this story like teaching? Like, especially like, even like, maybe there's a listener out there who's not even religious on their religious tip. Like, take religion aside, like really just take the story and what are the lessons to learn from each story itself, from each character. And I really think that that would be an interesting topic to dive into. So you'll definitely be hearing more of a Canned Ice podcast.
I'm excited.
That's still your name in my phone too, Canned Ice.
Canned Ice? Did you like put like a dash between it?
Nah, just Canned Space Ice.
Dice. Okay.
Like a product. It sounds like something I should sell on the market or something.
Well, I had a friend that he nicknamed me Dice. He said that was my street name. Okay. There's not much you can do with the name Candace, but Canned Ice and, you know, street name Dice, I guess, are two things you can come up with.
Street name Dice.
Dice. Call me Dice.
Call me Dice.
My alter ego.
Well, again, I appreciate you taking the time on this Friday evening, hopping on the podcast. If somebody wanted to connect with you, how could they do so? Are you like Instagram? You on the Twitters? You on the Books of Faith? You email? Like what? Like, if they wanted to connect with you?
If you want to connect with me, I do have Instagram. It's just Candace, Candice _ Brianne, Brianne, super Southern, I know. I have Facebook. You can find me, Candace McGrath, again, CandiceMcGrath. No Twitter or anything. I'm not sure about email. Probably, yeah. Instagram and Facebook if you want to connect with me. But if you really want my email, just reach out to Deshaun. He can help you out.
Yeah, maybe. We'll auction it off for $5.
Let me guess, you'll get 75%.
60-40. My way, though. My way.
I know. I was telling my mom earlier, I said, Deshaun sent me an appointment. I was like, that is so Deshaun. I've known you for so long, it just didn't surprise me you sent me an appointment. I said, he penciled me in.
Yeah, some things just don't change, you know.
No, but you know, it's just something to love about you. I can't wait to catch up with you more, because I know you have done some amazing things and that you're also super goal oriented. So I'd love to hear what all you've been up to.
Hey, anytime. I'm always down to chop it up.
All right,
Candace, peace out, Cub Scout.
See ya.
Peace. Yo, thank you for listening to the Beast Podcast. We hope that you learned something and are empowered and inspired to be a better version of yourself. Please go ahead and subscribe, like, share it with a friend, a family member, or anybody who can get some value from it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All right, y'all. Be great.